What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 258 of the Cheesy Controller Podcast. I'm your host, Anton LaPlatte. Joining me, as always, we have the Mecha Stardew Valley, Chris Montalbano.
I absolutely forgot what I was going to say.
We got the Ray Trace Durag, Madrid Devon.
Gundam absolutely never evolved.
And we got the most generous squid in the sea, Jalen Roberts.
And that's why Gundam died.
We got a jam-packed episode for you guys this week. We're going to speculate about GTA 6. We're going to talk about Sea of Stars and Venba. We're going to talk about the Cyberpunk 2.1 update. We're going to talk about Pokemon Go. The biggest news to come out in the last week that's going to be happening in the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good. The concern about this was that it was going to happen the same day as the Game Awards, and it would have overshadowed everything at the Game Awards. But it's good that it's coming out and being announced sooner rather than later. Is GTA 6 is getting its first trailer on Tuesday, December 5th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time.
That's early as fuck.
I mean, that is late in the scheme of video game things being announced. Like, that's more like kind of the...
Well, it's more the fact that I expect games to be... game trailers to be based around... What's West Coast time?
It'll be like 11 for us.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was early. Because I was expecting it to be built around, like, you know, 9 California, not 9 over here.
Well, usually when embargoes and stuff lift, it's 9 a.m. Eastern time is when, like, so if press, for instance, has seen this trailer already and are going to, like, have pieces to put out about it, the embargo is probably 9 a.m. Eastern. So, like, game reviews drop at 9 a.m. Eastern. A lot of times, like, podcasts that, like, have embargoed stuff drop at 9 a.m. Eastern. So, it's kind of a standard of, like, a lot of times games news happens at 9 a.m. It's like, I'll wake up, nothing will have happened. I get to work, and then it's like, oh, yeah, like, everything is
something
happening.
Happened.
All of this time right now.
Yeah. No, that's real. I think I'm in the minority that doesn't give a fuck, but, you know, I'm happy for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give a fuck about Grand Theft Auto in, like, 4 years. Four years. Because that's what's going to happen. That game's going to be around for another, like, what?
10?
How long was Grant? Yeah, decade. 10 years.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time. There's no need to rush.
The question is how many decades, actually?
Honestly, because those are some of the rumors early on with the game, was that it would be... It's going to start in Vice City, but... They're going to add Liberty City and Los Santos and, like, add other cities to GTA 6 over time. And, I mean, there was supposed to be GTA 5 single-player DLC before that game launched, so who the hell knows what they're actually going to do.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I think GTA 5 has been around 10 years, and the online is, like... built on old infrastructure. GTA 6 has the potential of being like, it'll be interesting if it's day and date consoles and PC, because it actually took GTA 5 a while to come to PC.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was after maybe the PS4 Xbox One versions that it finally came to PC. I think it was out on PS3 360, came out on PS4 Xbox One, and then came to PC. So, it'll be interesting to see if it's like PS5, Series X, and S, and PC day one, if it's coming to PS4 and Xbox One, because...
Right. I think, hope, like, that would hinder it.
Yeah, that's my hope, is, like, we're far enough into this generation, and now PS5 monthly active users are higher on PlayStation than PS4 monthly active users. So finally, like, the majority of people who are regularly playing with their consoles connected to the internet are on the new gen of consoles. And we see how games like Cyberpunk that were big and ambitious were, like, severely hindered by coming out on last gen. So But, you know, this game's been in development for a really long time, so it might be that they have it working. It might, but I'm just hoping for, like, the infrastructure and, like, the longevity of that game that it's not coming to last-gen consoles. Because there's a GTA game available for them on that platform. It's called GTA 5.
Yep. Keep playing it. I don't know if maybe back in the day, like, that's the PS3 and Xbox 360 era games and convert them into PC was a reason why it was hindered, or just trying to figure it out, like, older graphics cards and everything with PC trying to figure out how to get GTA 5 to work on it. But, like, I feel like it's going to come out day and at the same time. I don't see why it wouldn't. Most things are now.
Well, that's the thing. Red Dead Redemption, they just did the Red Dead Redemption remastered, and Red Dead Redemption still isn't on PC.
Oh.
I think Red Dead, I'm pretty sure Red Dead 2 is, but Red Dead 1 is still not on PC.
Oh, so the newer game is on PC, but the older one, like GTA 5, isn't. GTA 5 is, but it took a longer time, and Red Dead Redemption, they didn't even bother.
I mean, if they already did the port work, it's free money, but, I mean, I get what you're saying of, like, that the more modern games, like, it makes a lot more sense bringing those games over to PC, because they bought a lot of the people who were running, like, role-playing servers, so I think that there's going to be an official, like, role-playing mode. The way that 14 has, like, actual role-playing, like, implementation on a game level, I think that's going to be a big part of GTA 6, considering they bought the people that were doing, like, fan-run RP communities.
Is it still going to be a bunch of, like, white people cosplaying as black people online?
I mean, it's the internet. Come on.
Race playing?
Yeah.
Come on, it's the internet. Do you think anything's going to actually change here anytime soon? Yeah,
it's not, but...
Right, and GTA is going to sell so many... It's the best-selling game on PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One. Probably, honestly, up there on PS5, Xbox Series X and S. Mm-hmm. It's going to sell so many millions of copies. Yeah. It's not even. It's going to be worse than, like, you know, Final Fantasy 14 has a couple million players, but Grand Theft Auto is going to have a couple billion players, you know? It's kind of like a... issue a scale thing with that. It's like Facebook. Of course, you go on Facebook and you see shit that would not fly anywhere else. It's because Facebook is way more wide-reaching, and, like, people that don't really use the internet use Facebook the same way people who don't really play video games will play GTA.
That's true.
Yeah, it's also because, like, GTA is one of those surface-level franchises. Like, everyone who's not even deep into video games play GTA. They know GTA. It's like...
I mean, it was all over the news as, like, that game grew.
It is the...
Causing violence.
I gotta find the exact quote of what GTA is. But I think it's the highest-selling entertainment media ever. Sold more than ever? Any, like, album, any movie, any... TV show, but
that's crazy.
What does that say about society?
That's a good question.
It is the most financially successful entertainment product of all time, with about $8 billion in worldwide revenue. It's the second best-selling video game over time, but it sold over 190 million copies.
Damn. Yeah, is it a moral thing?
I've never bought one. I've never bought one.
Wow, I have...
Any GTAs?
Three copies of GTA 5.
Damn.
My brothers had them, and I just played it like that, or somebody let me borrow their copy, or I tried it.
So do you think you're going to be there on day one? What would this trailer have to show you to...
Nothing.
I'm going to be there.
Like, nothing the game is going to do is going to sell me on it. It's going to be what other people do with the game that would sell me on it.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm going to get out of a Grand Theft Auto game. Like, they can say whatever the fuck they want, but we know what we're going to get out of it. It's just, like, how hyper-realistic do they want to make it, you know? Or how exaggerated do they want to make it, you know what I'm saying? Besides that, it's just going to be, what I see people doing with it. And I'm not really online like that anymore. So I'm likely not going to see it, and just it's going to be a word-of-mouth situation.
That's fair.
Yeah,
and also, like, Grand Theft Auto as a game, like, each Grand Theft Auto game had a good bit of longevity to them. Like,
well, remember, on the PS2, it was GTA 3, San Andreas, and Vice City were back-to-back-to-back year after year, and then there was a break before GTA 4, and then, comparatively speaking, between GTA 4 and GTA 5, because those were both on the same... They were both Xbox 360 PS3 games like that. And then... So 10 years is definitely way out of the norm for...
A GTA game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do. I do remember, like, all the leaks and stuff had them, like, doing a shootout... Basically in a Waffle House type situation. And, you know, anywhere you can get into a fight in a Waffle House, in a place that's not real life, I find that fascinating.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, like, since it has been a decade of a new story of GTA, I'm interested to see, like, what route they take.
Right, it'll be
because society is so different now than 10 years ago.
It's like, are they going to go for, like, controversy and shock value? Or are they going to, like kind of, like, lean into the... Yeah, are they going to, like, lean into that?
Satirize modern day because, like...
Yeah.
Life is just...
Oh, the world... It's not real. Like the YSL trial? Like, one of the jurors? Or, like... She started quoting Bleach. She was like, yeah, this is reminiscent of a Bleach Bount arc.
The Bount arc. You're quoting the Bount arc.
Like, you are quoting the Bount arc of fucking the first filler.
If you watch season 4, you don't know anything about the Bounts. You watch season 6, you don't know anything about the Bounts.
No, because it's not written. Like,
they're what we call filler characters.
So clearly, we're not living in a real world or timeline. And
let's be real. The simulation ended in 2018. Like,
what happened in
2018? Why specifically 18?
Oh, because 2020 was when we were in a full... That's when the plot of this simulation is over got started, because all the weird shit happened. So, like, all the good content ended in 2018. 2019 was the beginning of the scraping of the barrel, and 2020 was jumping the shark.
Huh. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's either that or, like... People's claim that the Higgs, whatever, the boson god particle had, like, ripped and changed time and space, and now we're in multi-universes. So.
I think people have a hard time trying to fathom their own existence. Like, scope in the world, and then thus they superimpose it, because you can't possibly fathom anything outside of yourself. But I feel like us as a whole, we just need to take more time and just appreciate the world that is around us, instead of, like, theorizing and prophesizing about the shit that's way out of our realm of control and understanding. Because with that, what we perceive is our reality. So you're trying to perceive what you can't perceive, and thus is warping your own reality.
That's true.
But also, we need to really accept what that scope is, because we do need to burn down the government, like this bitch on fire. And dance in the flame.
All I'm saying is, Aaron trampled 80% of the world. All I'm saying, we can slash that percentage by 79, and I think we would be right on the
floor. I mean, we don't even have to trample the world. We just got to set like 4 buildings on fire.
I'm just thinking of 1%. I think they're
on one street.
That's not even like a full 1% of people, though. That's like 0.02.
I think you're missing my point, but
No, I get your point. I'm saying you're talking about like at best like 100 people. A couple of buildings on fire. That's it.
I'm not even gonna. So, anybody got anything else on the GTA? I think I'm definitely going to be there day one. It's going to be like a pre-order, like unless what they
show. No, it's going to be lit, but it's like the cultural reset, I feel like, won't truly happen until they release the online. And it seems like it's going to be like a delayed release for the online.
Yeah, which is what it was with
Right. I mean, I get
GTA
it.
GTA 5, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing about it is, like, I feel like at this... Where GTA is at this point, the most important thing is the online.
I can't wait.
And the single player is just what we're going to be doing until the online comes out.
I really can't wait to see like the insane city tech that they've been working on for 10 years, because apparently it's going to be like 4 times the size of GTA 5, and it's going to have like twice as many buildings as you can enter. And it was like, I remember GTA was always kind of like, going from indoors to outdoors is not something you typically do in open world games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it'll usually be a cut, like, even in Spider-Man, it's like a cut scene that takes place indoors, like, but it's really impressive those few times where you do, like, web shoot through a building, and you...
Right. And you can see this is a fully realized building, or at least this vignette. That was a cool thing. I was swimming it, damn, it would be really cool if you could just like see people inside their windows. But you'll hit a building and you'll see somebody like inside their room walking around having a full life. And I'm like, wow. Fuck. That's interesting.
Well, yeah, all that's
that is really cool.
Like, they have a certain set number of rooms and they copy and paste them in random orders all over buildings. But yeah, I mean, because that tech was in the first time we saw it was in Miles Morales. Because I think in the first Spider-Man, they had rooms and stuff, but they didn't have people walking around in them. But when, like, they started doing the updates to add ray tracing and needing the glass to, like, work in a certain way, they started making the scenes more detailed indoors. But yeah. So
that's cool stuff.
While we're talking about really ambitious open world games, Cyberpunk 2077 is getting a 2.1 update. I, for one, thought that
Phantom Liberty was going to be the end of it, but it wasn't.
2.0 and Phantom Liberty, I really thought that was like, we're sunsetting the game, it's done. Like, we'll, if there's like a catastrophic bug or something, we'll come back in and fix it, but. The fact that they're still going, there aren't going to be more expansions, but I doubt this is going to be the last update now. Like,
until they're like, we got to keep this good faith going that we're going to try and build back.
But also, didn't they release some mod tools already? So,
I'm not seeing that in the bullet points that I have of the 2.1, but yeah, honestly, and I'm surprised I haven't seen Cyberpunk mods. I feel like if Cyberpunk mods were a thing, that'd be something that I'd at least encounter.
Yeah, they already released the mod tools.
Okay.
So, it's like...
When were they released, though?
They were released a while ago, actually. January
27, 2001. Wait.
2021. They were released like 2 years ago.
I mean, I was like, wait.
Like, while we're fixing our shit, have fun. Or help us.
Yeah, no, literally. It's literally, hey, mod some stuff, give us some ideas, and have fun. But now it's like, the mod tool going forward is going to be the way the foundation the game is to mod going forward, it's going to be insane.
Yeah, so in the 2.1 update, what they're adding, the Metro system is officially added, portable radio to listen to music outside of vehicles, repeatable street racing side activities. You can hang out with romantic partners, and they put an eyes emoji next to that. So,
you can show them what those vehicles. Two cocks are about.
They added new vehicles and motorcycles, and they improved motorcycle mechanics. So, pretty sizable update, like having
improved coochie physics.
Look, you're gonna find out in Cyberpunk 2077 2.1.5. That's when the brain dance update gets added in, connected to your VR.
Combine that with your Jackmaster.
Ooh. Wait, is
look,
this...
really take Pan Am for a ride.
So, I'm looking at the Discord, and it looks like Lego Fortnite. So, like, I can just never tell what Fortnite's actually doing, because Peter Griffin was datamined a really long time ago, and, like, it kind of became a meme that they're going to add Peter Griffin to Fortnite, but they're actually... It's been, like, over a year since they originally datamined it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a crazy hitbox, though.
Hey, it's weird because his character model is just a Fortnite character model, and it's like, you guys have done some interesting things with character models before, but that's interesting. But apparently, right after we started recording, Lego Fortnite was announced, which is something they also data mined a long time ago. Because we've seen, are they doing seasons way faster now?
I don't know. I have no frame of reference for anything Fortnite related.
Yeah, really. I think you would be the expert on the situation in this podcast.
So you asking us is a red flag for whatever the fuck they got going on over there. Because for me, this is still the Aaron Yeager season.
Event is going on.
Wait.
So they just had like an Eminem concert and a seasonal Big Bang event, and apparently that's why we're getting a bunch of news.
Wait, is this like literally a Lego version of Fortnite?
I don't know. All I've seen is the image with the date, and I see a screenshot from the event where a Lego person
turned in
exists.
Oh. Huh.
I gotta go watch this event afterwards.
It wouldn't surprise me if Lego hooked up with Fortnite, was like, let's make a very kid-friendly version of Fortnite.
Well, yeah, they actually... Okay, this is actually insane. I'm seeing clips of this on Twitter, and if this is just like all Lego Fortnite, this is crazy. They might have really just got me back in because
kind of plays all the Lego characters that have been in Lego games. Qui-Gon.
Not Qui-Gon, but you can be Anakin Skywalker, you can be Kylo Ren, so if you can just be characters that are already in Fortnite as minifigs, multiple Spider-Man, I got
I'm just saying, like, they have, like, the Lego universe of video games has been around for so long that they already have, they could put as many characters as they want in this game.
I mean, they already do.
Well, I'm talking about, like, the Lego version of Fortnite, if that is a thing.
Huh?
I'm just talking about, like, if Lego Fortnite is, like, a separate thing from Fortnite, like, the base game, they could have just thousands of characters. with all the different Lego games.
Like the Lego variants of this of these franchises? Yeah.
The real question is,
I mean, they got like 6 Lego Star Warses with like all the characters in it.
The real question is, can I play as Pepper from Lego Island 2, The Brickster's Revenge? That's the, if they put that in, if Pepper's in that game, I'm back. Yo. They got me fucked up. I'm back. Pull out them old Lego CD-ROM deep cuts.
Yeah, Jesus.
Like, put Pepper in the Brickster.
Pepper was singing pizzas back in the day.
Right. and give Pepper, let Pepper skateboard and throw pizzas at people. Come on.
We're just speculating here, but that would be actually a fun-ass game. I think I might play Lego Fortnite.
I'd play Lego Fortnite if I can play as, like, the deep-cut Lego CD-ROM game characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw it out here that's
I know. It's going to be
not going to happen, but
I know because that would be too peak.
It's on the table because there are some deep cut ass characters in Fortnite. Like, you want to be Chloe from the Uncharted series? You can do that.
Like the third most popular character from the Uncharted series. If not second.
I'm trying to think of just like some really obscure, like the Green Arrow.
Justice League cartoon and Justice League Unlimited did a lot for that character.
They're adding the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to the series. I know they get hoed out to every video game in existence, but
Nickelodeon wants that. Yeah.
The Ninja Turtles collecting the bag. They just dropped. Really? They're dropping a collab for some Adidas, like Adidas shell toes specifically.
Yo, that's cool.
So they're pretty clean. So it's inspired, honestly.
I mean, just TMNT shell toes is an inspired choice. Without
right and like on the toe part, where it's usually like the stars or whatever, or the dots, they have like the little. Like the shell, basically design on them, so they're actual turtle shell toes.
That's sick.
All right, but yeah, I will check in on this Lego Fortnite, and I will report back next episode.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
Sorry, we totally
I need the updates
by that. So this week I realized I hadn't played many indies this year. I've been playing a lot of games this year.
Oh my God. Are you playing indies now?
Yeah. Well,
is that what's happening? Cause I've been thinking I need to.
Well,
you do.
You do. The exact one that I'm playing right now is Venba because I voted for it in all those indie categories in the Game Awards. And I was like, let me check this game out. And I heard Blessing on Kinda Funny talk about, like, if you're a first-generation American, you need to play this game. And I was like, all right, let me check it out. And when I tell you less than 5 minutes into that game, it had me in my feels. I was like, Like,
oh yes, that game will do that to you.
Yeah, there's
and you get to learn recipes.
Yeah, you do get to learn recipes.
Oh, I'm down to learn some
hell recipes. Yeah,
because they're Indian, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Or am I making that up? Oh, bet. I love some Indian food.
Is it like a specific region or?
Well, they're in
like Canada. All over. So oh, okay. It's oh, a couple okay.
That like immigrates to another country in their 20s and then have a child. In that other cool. country and
nice.
Like prefers the culture of where he grew up over the culture where his parents grew up and like so when I tell you
damn
this, representation
this is not cooking matters. Mama
no it is not cooking
mama. Damn I like that that's awesome.
Yeah, so
how does Cooking Mama start? Does she bust in the house like, baby, you defrost that chicken? It was like, why didn't that chicken out?
But yeah, so Venba got me a new goal in the games industry. I need to get Trinidadian characters into a video game. it could be native Trinidadians, it could be Trinidadian Americans, but like that is the representation I need to specifically see in a video game. Like I need, because I looked on Wikipedia for references to Trinidad in video games and two results came up. Ashes Cricket 2009, apparently Trinidad was featured in that, and Brian like Lara Cricket on the PlayStation. So even though that's actually not fair, because Trinidad is one of the teams featured in 2006 World Cup FIFA, the one FIFA game I
always about. I'm like, was it not in a like a World Cup edition or something?
But they haven't been in the World Cup in a few years, so like I think the last time was 2006, and so
it's only every 4 years, man. Some steep competition in there.
To be fair, in Street Fighter V, I set my region to Trinidad and Tobago just so, you know.
Nice.
I was like, I saw the flag. I was like, you know, I'll do that.
You're right.
Yeah, that would be cool. I feel like
that would be cool.
I would definitely like to see more like different parts of the diaspora in games outside of just like, because just even having like black people or melanated people in games is like, all right, cool. But when they do, it's kind of like run of the mill type of deal. They have their tropes and they usually stick to that, unless it's somebody actually taking time and putting care into like the design of characters and like thinking of the cultural, like multiple cultural elements to add along with it.
That's the biggest part, is adding culture. I mean, because right, these like adding, people come from all around the world. They are not just like this blend. Right.
And it shows that representation matters. And so it's just something I've noticed in media lately. Pacific Islanders are getting a lot of representation. That's really great. They are a really underrepresented like community of people, like collection of cultures that's like been heavily underrepresented in the West for a long time. But I feel like, specifically speaking, like North America is closer to the Atlantic islands, you know, and we really aren't getting a lot of media representing those things.
Like, show some love to the Caribbean. Like, if anything, it's usually just like they're like, all right, Caribbean, we're gonna go Jamaican.
And I mean, even that isn't handled the best.
It's real surface level and kind of like tropey and cringy a little bit, because their understanding of it is limited, you know?
Yeah. So
the appreciation is definitely never there.
That in a lot of those areas, when it comes to like media and games, still get picked up for extra work. They're used for their labor and stuff like that, but they're not, you know, represented in the actual like stories and the, you know, like if you want some cheap electronics labor, they do go to areas like that.
Yeah, they will outsource to the islands.
Right.
It's Central and South America has a lot of like contract work as far as like on our media.
Y'all can make the game, but y'all can't make the game.
Right? Y'all can make the game, but you can't be in the game.
Mm-hmm. You're not making the cut.
You're going to work to realize our aspirations and completely neglect yours.
Y'all going to realize our real lies.
I see what you did there.
With your real eyes. Yeah, I've been like kind of getting that indie itch and wanting to play like smaller games. I have a Sea of Stars right there looming, but where I'm at, I just don't feel like doing that shit.
I won't, because they want a lot of me.
They will just finish Sea of Stars. It's so good. It's not even that long. That's also one of the things I appreciate the most about Sea of Stars and a lot of indie games, is that they don't go on for a super long time.
Like, they don't overstay their welcome. A
completionist run
exactly.
Venba is 2 hours on how long to beat. Like, so.
So did you beat it?
No, I kind of want to play it with Angelina.
Oh,
I see. And
oh,
I just kind of I had downloaded it and then I started it super late. Like, I think I had finished playing something else and was I got to a point in Diablo where I'm like, if I do this, I'm going to be dungeon crawling for the next 2.5 hours, and I'm not trying to do that right now. So I just stopped playing Diablo, was getting kind of tired, started playing it just see what it was about, and like immediately got like hit with it, and I was like, "Oh, okay, like this is something I need to not play at 2:30 in the morning. This is something I need to play on like an afternoon and really be able to like immerse mm-hmm. myself for those 2 hours."
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But yeah, that makes is sense. One of the things I appreciate about indies is like even looking at some of the things that were nominated in the indie categories for the Game Awards, like a lot of these are not 100-hour experiences. A lot of these aren't even 20-hour experiences. Like it's like you play them, they have an impact on you, and then you
all killer, like, no filler.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, honestly, Sea of Stars is probably the longest
that would be on Stars, this list. For me to get the true ending of Sea of Stars took me a little over 27 hours.
That's even for an RPG, that's not bad.
Well, I mean, that's around the time of Spider-Man, too. Like, because
I got my play under
a turn-based RPG.
Well, if you look at some of the older ones, like
they're shorter.
A lot of these are like, because it's the Final Fantasy games. When I go back and I look, like even some of like, it wasn't until Final Fantasy X that those games started getting like
bloated.
It became the norm.
Yeah, because the PS2 JRPG era, like a lot of them, it was like they equated time to value, and so they're like, well, we could sell this $60 20-hour game, or we could sell this $60 100-hour game, and more people are going to want to buy the 100-hour. And I mean, that's still true, like as far as like
which I think is bullshit, just in general. I feel like the experience, like just as a person, like a worker who works in the art field, you don't charge by the hour, you charge by the quality of the product that you get. So, like, I feel like these games that are shorter but have a greater experience are better for me than a game that's 100 hours and has, like, it takes the whole 100 hours for me to get the same experience that a game that took me 15 hours to get.
Right. But also another part of that is the fact that, like, the artist doesn't determine how much time you spend in a game. Because there's been plenty of games that we've played in our lives that are 30 hours long that we've sunk 999 hours in. Pokemon Emerald. isn't that long, but I literally broke the clock on it. I spent so much time playing it.
Well, yeah.
Right, games like that have replayability to it. Like, you can go in, they give you shit to do. I feel like with some of the longer JRPGs, like, the story in itself is probably, like, you know, you can knock it out in a relative amount of time. But they just give you so much other shit to do. Like, a completionist run, because they gave you so much shit, ends up boosting the time count in that, because they want you to be able to, like, just play it. Like, you know, go play Blitzball. Go do this. Go fishing. Go collect these things. Go do all this obscure shit that most people will never even know about.
Go play the random built-in pseudo card game we've added into this game for no fucking reason.
Right. And with the interesting thing, like with something like Persona 5, that shit is in there, but with the way the day night every day counts time cycle set up, you inherently have to go through all that shit, and thus you're stuck in the game itself for a longer amount of time boosting the hour count, but I still say it's worth it, but I definitely get.
Well, that. I feel like
there's not able to like streamline it.
Persona 5 is a game that you're actively going to miss it. It's playtime. There are a lot of games out there that don't justify their hour count.
No, not at all.
Because it, like, I feel like Persona games, they spend half their time being a JRPG and half their time being a dating sim or, like, quality of life simulator, that you're not always feeling like you're in the, like, same, like, flow or, like, same minutia of the game that you can, it feels fresh throughout, like, either doing castles or dungeons or whatever, or
just, like, hanging out with friends. I would literally have real-world days where I just do one.
Yep.
Like I'll make it. I'm like, all right, it's time to finally go to the palace, and I'm like, I'm out of bandwidth for the day. I have to put this down. But when I come back, I know I have this palace to go through in one trip, because I'm not a rookie.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, as long as your impact hits your intent and your intent reaches your impact, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And while we're talking about Sea of Stars, the soundtrack is available on music streaming services now, and apparently the soundtrack on that game is awesome.
Because it is.
Yeah.
So
it's got some real hits on there. I haven't
gotten too deep in there, but there's some hits from what I've played.
Well, yeah. Sea of Stars is kind of on my short list. I'd have to buy it, though, because I'm going down to PlayStation Plus Essential, like, the day after tomorrow, so...
Yeah.
Facts.
Because I'm like, even if I buy Sea of Stars, it'll still be cheaper for me to have Essential and Sea of Stars than it would be for me to be paying for Extra. Like, honestly. I see the value of Extra if you don't have... Because I went through and I sorted my PlayStation library the other night, and I sorted, it was like, you can do it by, like, did you get it from PlayStation Plus, or did you buy the game? And so I did that. I did, like, PS5 only games. I hid all the demos and betas, and it was still, like...
I wish they would, like... put demo like on the fucking title card so it's not like in your face like, but wait, I don't own Guilty Gear, this is a beta.
That's why this is a demo and hide a bunch of those because I was just like, why is Balan Wonderworld on my list? Why is just it's a bunch of random stuff that I downloaded the demo. Lies of P. Like, I'm probably not going to get around to playing Lies of P, but I don't need to have an icon in my library saying that I played the Lies of P demo.
Right.
So, yeah.
Demos are also, like, ridiculous with their space. I didn't realize, like, just what Madre was saying, like, oh, I didn't realize I still had 16's demo downloaded, even though I owned 16, because it doesn't say it on there. And I was like, this is like an 8-gig demo.
8 gigs is nothing, because for the
Call of Duty
beta?
Well, I don't want to talk about Call of Duty. Call of Duty,
we know how bloated Call of Duty is in every
single aspect. So... to play the
it's not Modern comparable. Warfare
3 beta, you had to download the entirety of Warzone.
No, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, they're bugging.
I wish you could a la carte that shit, because I'll never want to play Warzone, but like...
Well, Warzone's free, so...
I mean, I get it, but I don't want to play it.
Out of Warzone.
I get it, but what if you just don't want it? It's like pickle. What if I don't want the pickle? I get it, but what if I don't want to download it? I get it.
Well, Warzone's the one part you have to download. Like, even if you just want to play the campaign, you have to download Warzone. Even if you just want to play the zombies, got to download Warzone.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think Street Fighter VI does that, where you can a la carte parts of the game.
Yeah. Because I know, like, the World Tour mode is, like, a separate download, and, like, the Battle Hub. So, like...
like, all of that shit's smart. It's inspired. It's like, all right, a lot of people aren't going to interact with this or any way, shape, or form. Or if they're downloading it specifically for a tournament, they don't give a fuck about that.
Right. And, I mean, Call of Duty does do that to a certain extent. Like, Warzone is the only part that's mandatory. Like... even for the past few years, like Black Ops Cold War, I uninstalled the campaign, I uninstalled the co-op stuff, I uninstalled, there was like a, like, and I only wanted to play the multiplayer, so like, I had to have War, well, and actually, in Black Ops Cold War, Warzone wasn't built in, so I just had the multiplayer installed.
See? That's cool. I don't want your fuck-ass Battle Pass.
New, like, Call of Duty launcher that has Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, and Warzone, and all of that under one executable, you can uninstall pretty much every single part of it except Warzone. So in case
I'm not going to get it in this generation.
Look, we got Lego Fortnite coming. I'm not going to try and push anybody towards Call of Duty's Battle Royale because, like, as somebody, like, I've enjoyed Fortnite, I've enjoyed Apex. I just cannot do Warzone. I can't do it. It's not fun. Yeah. I've never had a good time.
No.
I've tried it multiple times because it's like, I like Battle Royales. I like Call of Duty. Let me try the Call of Duty Battle Royale. Why is this so bad? Why is this physically painful to play?
I feel like Apex was the only battle royale that really stuck with me.
Right. The pleasure of Call of Duty is like doing deathmatch, essentially. Like you have that quick time to kill, and then you're right back in. You're trying to get your revenge. You know what I'm saying? Like the life, the gameplay loop for a battle royale is inherently different. Fortnite worked because you're like mining and shit and like fucking building things and like collecting and harvesting wood.
I haven't done any of that.
Like, I don't know. I don't have a frame of reference for Fortnite, but I know I'm right about these things. And then Apex is like, here, it's,
I personally playing zero build with the majority of the player base. Haven't mined or built anything.
And Apex's appeal is being a futuristic hero shooter that is is utilizing the Battle Royale formula to dance on the corpse of Titanfall and Titanfall 2 and, you know, abort Titanfall 3. So ultimately, they all had their strengths and weaknesses. And Call of Duty's is just that it's so fucking ubiquitous that people are playing it because they don't know any goddamn better.
They don't.
I can't even think of what a good battle royale for like somebody just like coming into shooters right now. Like
it's just don't play them anymore. Just scale back into single player shooters to see what that's about.
Immortals of Avium is a game that exists that was like a creative single player Unreal Engine 5 big budget shooter.
Yeah, and streamers weren't sucking each other off playing it, and that's what happens. Like the fact that the gameplay, like the gaming community, is built and broken upon what you can stream and what you can't stream. That shows that there's inherently a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because streaming is that's auxiliary. Like that's not something you need. Like that's just a product of what we've set up. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
Like, you're basing your entire industry off of a byproduct. That's insane.
I mean, it wouldn't be the most boutique byproduct-based business. I've seen this week, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, what was the other hot shooting subgenre?
Yeah, but also with Immortal of Avarice, though, it had a rough release schedule. Like, it came out... It came out 2 days before Blasphemous 2 and 3 days before Armored Core 6.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, neither of those are single player first person shooters.
Like, I know, but it's like, I feel like, but also I feel like though, that the average, yeah, but the thing about it though is, yes, well, Immortals of Avarim is a first person shooter. It's not a military first person shooter, which is the subgenre.
Those don't sell. Even what those don't sell. What was the last military-based first-person shooter that performed well outside of Call of Duty?
Those are the only ones we get anymore.
No, we got a battle. We've been getting Battlefields, and they've been trash and have not been selling. Well,
the thing with the last Battlefield is that, yeah, but then you got the quality thing, where like the last Battlefield came out severely under fucking cooked.
Yeah, but all that I'm saying is that we see a million battle royales, we see a million extraction shooters, we see a million of all of these different kinds of shooters. A single player military military based first person shooter is not something we're getting a million of, because it's not selling. It's not a trend that anybody's chasing.
Yeah, look at Titanfall 3.
God damn it, PUBG. If you didn't fumble the fucking bag, we would have had Titanfall 3. But you know what? They had to fucking do that.
Is it PUBG's fault?
Yeah, because if PUBG didn't drop the ball during the early days of Fortnite, the Titanfall devs wouldn't have been playing Fortnite and would have been like, we should make our own Fortnite.
Yeah,
because that's literally everyone moved.
Well, what if PUBG. They said we should make our own PUBG? We would still get the same fucking thing.
Right. I don't know.
It might have even had less personality than Apex. Oh, damn. You know, like, they're like, all right, let's do less attitude and more military propaganda.
Yeah.
And that would be awful.
Yeah, but what I'm saying about Immortals of Avarium is that, yes, we don't get a lot of single-player, story-driven FPSs anymore. I'm not going to argue with that. Mm. But also, you can't tell me that game didn't look a little mid.
Apparently it was really good, it's just...
I mean, once you play it, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm saying like...
The studio shut down now because they got so fucked.
It didn't tell, yeah. I think it came out at a bad time, and then also, like, I don't think... Look, it looked mid when it first came out. I mean, it didn't look like something... Like, has any of us really bothered to try and get it?
That's the thing. Oh. I was just about to say, I'm not going to argue because I haven't firsthand played it. But
none of us have been... Is it on any of our backlogs?
Nope, because you got
to
buy it.
Are any of us waiting for it to be on sale for anything more than... I'm pretty sure for all of us, it's on the. I would get it if it was for $20 or less.
Yeah, I definitely would. But
I would get it on Essential, or not on Essential Extra.
See, I mean, we'll see, like, because the developer can't really make typical... those deals. Yeah. So,
like, that's the thing about it. It's like it didn't look that exciting. It could have been good. It could have been a sleeper hit, for all I know. But I know that it did not look exciting. It did not look like something.
I mean, it's just
like, something. It didn't have me getting a fastball special by a giant fucking robot.
So just like it's something that the industry, especially enthusiasts, have been asking for a long time. It's like, hey, how about you make these shorter, more unique, new IPs, try different things, like do all these different things that game did. Like, the game checked so many of the boxes of what people want out of games. And, like,
yes, this year was a bloodbath. So there's a box
I didn't want checked.
No offense, Chris.
It's fine.
Chris is going to go play Venba.
But also, like, another thing with that, though, is part of it is also just the way the industry is for games that are released by the bigger corporations. They're expecting a very large and very quick return on investment. That's another thing about it is games, especially from, like, EA, where that came from, don't have the time to really sit down, let everyone finish up, and come around to realizing it's a sleeper hit. Those games don't have time. If you're not selling, if you're not making a return on investment in like a quarter, you're fucked.
Yeah, and I mean that's. Yeah.
What about Remnant 2? I heard that shit's fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's nominated for Best Action, I think.
Something, right?
Right. I think it's one of those things where it's like, I think part of it is just the fact that
Remnant 2 is a sequel, so it doesn't. It's often a remnant from the ashes right. of the game.
This just goes back to me saying there's alternatives to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. True.
For, you know, I want to shoot, to mention the litany of boomer shooters that
We could just not, though. We could just not have more Borderlands games. We could just
Tiny Tina's Wonderlands did so well, they've already greenlit a sequel and then more Borderlands games after that because of how well Tiny Tina's Wonderlands did. And to be fair, I wanted to check it out.
Yeah.
Isn't that on something?
Game Pass? Not yet. Not that I know of. It could totally be on Game Pass, PS Plus. Well, no, if it were on PS Plus Extra, I would know about it because I typically will go in there and just see what PS5 games are on there to see if there's anything I'm interested in. And I would have downloaded Tiny Tina. It had a...
It's not on Tiny or Game Pass.
Okay. And it has a trial on PlayStation Plus Premium, so if you have that tier...
Oh, maybe that's what I saw.
Yeah.
The trial.
The trial's kind of underrated, but, like, also not worth the money.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's inherently paying for a trial. Like, come on. Because I definitely don't want your collection of retro games that don't slap. Not for the price point.
Yeah, nothing on PlayStation Plus Premium is worth the price point.
Yeah, especially now. Even before it wasn't, but now it's just... It's just disrespectful.
All right. Well, the last thing I have on the notes for this week's episode is I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Go still, and I'm here to try and convince Chris to come to one of these community days with me.
I was going to go to the last one if I didn't have the flu.
Yeah. And, like, you had a good excuse. I caught you an extra
time. I was so mad.
And I didn't really get to spend as much time doing it this time around as I did last time. But I know Porygon's coming up. I know. So, yeah, I need a
shiny. Oh, yeah, because they did two Gen 2s back-to-back, right? Wooper and Mareep?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to, like, follow any particular pattern. Let me see.
Okay. Porygon, that's fucking cool. Pokemon's a good time if you're going places.
Oh, so they're actually in December bringing back all the ones from 2023.
In December?
Yes. So it's starting
like a specific day?
16th.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah, it looks like all of, let's see, it's $1 for the December Community Day. When is the actual day of the Community Day? This website is not formatted well. Okay, apparently there's one happening. Let's see. Saturday, December 16th, from 2 to 5 p.m., they'll have Slowpoke, Galarian Slowpoke, Togekiss, Chespin, Fennekin, Noibat. And then on Sunday, December 17th, it'll be Poliwag, Wooper, Timber, Axew, Froakie, and Grubbin. And then apparently on the last 10 minutes of either of those days, you can get Charmander, Squirtle, Mareep, Swinub, or Larvitar.
That's cool. I need some Charmanders.
I mean, I'll take a
shiny Charmander. That first day on the 16th just sounds like things I already get a lot of.
Well,
from eggs and just seeing it around. Oh, just shiny hunting it.
Yeah, shiny hunting, IV hunting, because I also have a perfect IV Mareep that I got on the community day. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah. So if you want, like, for battle purposes, for collection purposes, and it, like, you'll get a bunch of candy, which you can use to power up or evolve those Pokemon, so... That's it's cool. Definitely worth it. Anytime it's a community day, like, I don't particularly care about Timber, but I got a shiny Timber on the community day, so. Yeah, I think the community day is What's up, Chris?
I'm about to ask a question I should already know the answer to since I play a lot of Pokemon games. How do you know if you have a perfect IV Pokemon?
So, in Pokemon Go, you can go to, like, the menu on the Pokemon and evaluate. And the way you can check super easily is you type 4* into the search bar, and it'll show you all your, like, 4-star, which is basically perfect IV Pokemon.
So, okay.
Like, I have a Mareep, I have a Darmanitan, and I have a Monferno, all that are perfect IVs.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, there are like actual systems to check those things more easily. The same way they've made EV training like more of a viable thing without you having to go and like you can actually like EV train a Pokemon, like different games have handled it differently.
Yeah.
But and in other games it's mostly you, so you can tune your Pokemon to do specific things. Do I want a bulkier attacker to survive that random one shot that it might get hit by? Or do I make it even faster or harder hitting so it could just actually one shot more things?
Yeah, it seems like they're going to add the bottle cap system to Pokemon Go in the near future. So, like, they really might be bringing EV training into Pokemon Go. Because, I mean, the battle scene is, like, actually surprisingly...
like, big.
Like, the Pokemon Go community, I would always say, like, it's big, it's big. It's just, like, none of us were really in it, but, like, being in it now, like, it, there are so many, like, aspects to it that I'm just, like, I play every day. I try and spend a Pokestop every day. I make sure I keep the gym in my neighborhood unlocked. Like, the only thing, I need to do raids, and apparently you need more than one person for a raid. So, next community day, we got to go do some raids.
Okay.
Because they'll usually have, like,
like increased
raids, like, chance at catching shiny Pokemon from raids.
Yeah.
During the community days.
Raids like, are when you get, like, the, you fight the really dope-ass Pokemon.
Raids.
Raid.
So, like, looking at the raids, let's see, on the community days, if I can find it. I can't find it. But I know up, so right now they have a raid pass available in the shop for Hisuian Samurott. And the raid day for that is December 3rd from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. So tomorrow, as of recording. And you can just go and do Samurott raids to get Hisuian Samurott. And when they do Hisuian Typhlosion, I don't give a shit, Chris. You could have COVID. You could have super COVID. We're going somewhere. Like, mask up, social distance, drive separate vehicles. But we're going
to get... we're going to turn you into a plague bomb to get this Pokemon. I need you to understand.
Blow up that goddamn bubble and roll your ass over here.
Contagious isn't the problem. It's being able to function. You're going to put him in a power suit?
That's true. Just that.
This suit will do everything. You just have to be there physically.
I did it.
We can.
It's just the symbiote. Like Chris is asleep. Yeah. The symbiote's just in control.
But yeah, so when they Typhlosion, do Hisuian Typhlosion, we got to go out because we'll probably be. I already have a regular Johto Typhlosion, but Hisuian Typhlosion, I need, is a mighty need.
Yep. Yeah, he's pretty clean.
He is cool.
He resolves any of my Typhlosion issues.
You shouldn't have Typhlosion issues.
Typhlosion without his fire has a lot of issues.
like, come on, what is he?
Including Hisuian type. Like, Typhlosion without fire.
Activated. Oh, yeah. Typhlosion never.
Without fire.
Once like, they make Typhlosion 3D, they really ruin Typhlosion.
Is a mink coat that's still moving. You know what I'm saying?
Bad. Yeah.
It doesn't have the cute quality that, you know, Cyndaquil has going for it.
Right. I think they, you know, they fixed that in the Scarlet and Violet, though. He's always got fire now. That was the worst decision ever.
Well, no, he's
does he die? Does he die if the fire go out?
Like Charmander?
No, like we should probably stop making Pokemon like that.
That's what I like. Right, that episode of Pokemon where they were like, if his fire goes out, he dies. I was like, I am too young to know this pain.
But oh no,
Charmander, no, he can't die.
Charmander up there trying to protect his flame with a little leaf.
I mean, they still do dark Pokedex entries, like...
Oh, yeah, I know.
Dark.
Dark.
Like the Drifloon taking kids away?
Yeah.
Shit.
To a turn lot of them ghost into other Pokemon ghost-type like Pokemon. Stealing children's souls. That's just kind of like a running theme.
I mean, Pokemon is like, Drowsy was out here doing some real suspect shit. And Gen 1.
I just pictured like Drowsy's animations from like Pokemon Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness, and Drowsy was not. Like, I mean, it was a creep.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Psychic Pokemon are weirdos, and I like psychic Pokemon, but they're weirdos.
They are weirdos.
All right. Well, has anybody else been playing anything or have anything they want to talk about before we convene for this week?
I have one thing. On, I think it was Monday, I played Gundam Evolution with Jawan and some of the rupees. We're giving it its final send-off before it was sunsetted on Wednesday. The 29th, and man, that game didn't fix any of the bugs or the problems with it, and it was just like this is why we stopped playing this game type of situation, and the only people who were on were definitely the people who kept playing, or came back because they played a lot of it.
Like no one else was trying to see it send off or say its goodbyes.
Yeah, because they probably stopped caring because that game never added backfill. It wasn't like giving community support. It didn't fix the bugs that would like kick you from the party. Oh, yep, and then not let you rejoin because they don't allow that. Yeah. Right. It's fine. That game was cool. Mm-hmm. It did what it needed to do for a bit, and now it's over. Definitely could have been much better, but here we are.
Oh, apparently there's going to be a showing of the Big Bang in Fortnite again at 5 p.m. So that's what I'll be. And 11 p.m. So I'll probably do it tonight. You know, have the lights off, Big Bang music up. That's a seasonal event for this season.
Oh.
It's the Eminem concert into apparently them announcing multiple other games within Fortnite, including Lego Fortnite.
Oh.
Hmm. Cool. So basically, they're blowing Fortnite up into.
They blow Fortnite up like at least once a chapter.
Our player base is going down slightly. Blow up the map.
Blow it up.
Well, the thing was.
Didn't they go back to the original map?
Yeah, they did Fortnite OG, and that was like progressing over time, and like adding stuff from later seasons in chapter one. But I don't know. I didn't play any because it was like, damn, this looks like it's going to be a really short season. And it was a really short season, and I didn't care about any of this stuff. And Spider-Man 2 came out, and it was just like a confluence of things that just I haven't been on Fortnite, but what they showed today actually has me stoked. So, all right,
I feel that.
Well, if that's it. Remember, you can follow us all collectively, CheesyController.com. Apparently, we're not on SoundCloud anymore, so...
We're not. We haven't been on SoundCloud for a very long time.
All right. But I thought, like, the way I snaked the RSS feed... Like,
oh, you thought it still went?
I thought it would, like, you know... For Spotify to have the episodes, maybe not under the original channel or whatever, but at least in some form. But
I don't know. If you're somebody who was listening on SoundCloud,
you're not hearing this.
Nope.
Right. We're still available elsewhere.
We did. Yeah, we're uploading on podcast or Spotify for podcasters and whatever they changed their name to. And we got our little wrap up. We're up 8% as of last year with our fan base. And
all right,
you know, we're cooking.
Yeah, you can follow us all collectively on Instagram at Cheesy Controller without the last E because Twitter's some hoes.
Yep.
All right. This has been a No It's Good production. The video version is edited by Lana Twisted Mind. The audio version is edited by Akuma Santi. Until next time, keep it cheesy.